This to be a dream for you. But the activity of the brain, you see, must be there. And so it is that is registered, you see, in these instruments. And anything you say is an interpretation of that, but not a fact of and by it.
But there's also...
So that is why all those fellows who are using this, what is it, the graph of... You cannot say anything about it. These waves can indicate anything, you see. But you are already there observing certain things and interpreting their vibrations and say these are peaceful vibrations, these are not. So what actually meditation is doing is slowing down the thought. For what purpose?
Slowing down the thought.
What purpose you are doing? It does not mean that it is a peaceful state at all. The peace is where there is a disturbance, a volcanic eruption. That is peace. It is a volcanic eruption there, when the thought is not there. What is there is something like a volcanic eruption. The energy is bursting forth like a tremendous river in space. And so if you say that this man is peaceful because these waves are slowed down here, he's joking and kidding himself and kidding himself. That is not the peace. You don't have to meditate. You give a drug. You see, you know that. In the hospital, they give you to slow down your thoughts.
To prove what they have done is to prove, of course you must be knowing, to prove that dreaming is necessary for a man.
That is nonsense. That was Freudian rubbish.
Yes, they say it is necessary.
It is necessary. You have to sleep in order to dream.
So everybody is dreaming because they conducted the experiment.
What is dream?
They divided two groups, you see. I mean, let us talk like this.
Yes.
So they took about 50 people. They divided into two groups. One group, I mean, is having, suppose, 6 hours.
Are still interested in upholding the theories. Now I tell you, there was a documentary on the BBC recently. There are hundreds of people, not dozens of people, who do not sleep at all.
Really?
Yes, they are not yogis, they are not Jivan Mukta, they are not any one of those people. They are as fresh as those who sleep 18 hours a day. It is puzzling the whole field of psychology. What is it that is happening?
They don't sleep at all.
They don't sleep at all. They are awake. They are working hard, working people.
They don't become
saints. Not saints, not Jivan Muktas, not any one of those things. You see, this they have not been able to solve this problem. Is sleep necessary? Sleep is not necessary, that's what I maintain. Not at all necessary. To say that it is necessary for you to dream, that's another nonsense they are talking. That's why they don't like me, the psychologist. It undermines the very foundation on which they have built the whole psychological structure.
But why these people became restless next day?
Restless, even those who have slept 18 hours, they are restless.
No, but they said
the longer you sleep, the longer you sleep, the more restless you are. So the sleep is not necessary at all.
Maybe they are all conditioned to such an extent.
What? You start with the assumption that the sleep is necessary. What is restlessness? Tell me.
Restlessness means...
They could not manage their affairs next day.
What?
Without the clump period, you see, that particular dreaming. That is the test of when they have conducted.
You are dreaming while you are awake. First have to accept that fact. That is why you are tired.
In what sense you say you are dreaming all the
time? Are you not tired?
Yes, very tired.
Why you are tired while you are
very
awake?
Very worn out.
Why? See, instead of a coffee break, what you need, you see, in these offices, is to provide you with beds. You stretch yourself for 2 minutes, you will be tremendously relaxed.
No, personally,
you see, the body has to go through this process of dying. You see, you become weak, dull, stupid, during the course of the day. So that's why you smoke, you take a cup of coffee, or you do something, force yourself to work. The body not interested in working at all. Needs this very frequent, you see, breaks. That is why, you see, it is slowing down. The sensory system is slowing down.
But artificially, I am pushing it again.
You are artificially, even without that, you are using will and forcing yourself to do something. So it has got to be, go through this process of complete and total renewal of the body. I am not saying you are working in the office, you have to keep yourself away. So it is this that is really creating. So what I am suggesting, instead of coffee break, you have some beds there. You go by turns, relax, stretch yourself.
But a small jackknife.
For a fraction of a second. That will completely and totally renew the body.
Yeah.
So while it is slowing down, you are using your will and effort to keep it away. For
and it is not possible, I drink coffee.
You drink coffee. I am not saying anything against the coffee.
No, artificially.
25 cups of coffee I was drinking every day. Anybody says that it is bad for your heart,
What I am saying is, artificially you are doing that.
I am telling you.
Artificially we are doing that.
You are artificially pumping energy there.
Yes.
His body needs to go through this process of dying every now and then.
And because I am not allowing it, is it also not hurting it?
It is hurting what?
The body.
Or hurting what?
Because I am not allowing it to now and then have a rest or to go into almost a death-like.
You don't even have to stretch yourself on a bed.
Yes,
here and have a cat nap and you feel tremendously relaxed.
This is true.
When you are tired sometimes, you see you go.
Only your body.
That's all, one fraction of a second. And you come out of that. And you are fully awake.
I came my first previous day on the day Saturday morning. At 11 o'clock I went to bed night. I was sitting
close
to bed. I didn't have
to sit
at 11
o'clock. Without all these stimulants.
Just slightly you relax.
Close your body. To exist.
How
I am not doing that. Is it possible biologically?
It is possible.
No.
The body does not need
that. All the stimulants.
So since now you are used to these stimulants, there is no special charm in fighting
these
habits. Yes. There are no good habits and bad habits.
If it is fought, what will happen?
You create yourself the struggle there.
In neurotic situation.
Neurotic situation. Wanting and not wanting. Two things there, that is neurotic.
At the same time.
It used to happen in our room, is it really? If I ask him myself, it is his room, it is my room. We will both go to bed only around 12 o'clock. We used to read a lot in those days.
Habit, you see. And you see, the life is organized. See, night and day.
Yes.
There may be night and day, I am not denying that at all. There is night and day. So you force the children, you see, do they observe any night and day?
No.
Do they have a night and day?
We drive them, you see.
You force them. If they don't sleep, you give them opium or you do something. You push them. For your comfort, you force those children to fit into this pattern of yours which is created for your convenience. They wake up in the middle of the night and then play. And what about this poor mother who has to wake up in the morning and go to office? So she forces the child to sleep. So there is no such thing as a 24 rhythm for the body at all. A complete continuous rhythm. It has if you take the waves, you see, register these things, you will be surprised that it is not limited to your wakeful or sleeping or dreaming situation. So we have forcibly created this, you see, situation for ourselves. And so if you don't sleep, there is no such thing as insomnia also. Why should one sleep? When everybody around you is awake, you sleep. Or when everybody is sleeping around you, you cannot stay awake. So somebody came to see me. Why should you sleep? Why? What for? Why do you go to the psychiatrist? He gives you sleeping. So don't take any sleeping. Don't sleep at all. So what do I do with my nights? See, you watch your television, you watch this. First, get out of this situation that you must sleep. Sleeping is not necessary for you at all. So when once this is understood that sleeping is not necessary, the question of insomnia ceases. Otherwise, you make this into a social problem and not a physiological problem.
What do you mean do 24 hours?
What will you do? You are not working for your livelihood anymore.
Yes.
Because you don't know what to do with yourself. That is why all those who retire suddenly without any hobby, they die.
Why? Is it not strange?
It is
to be happy.
No.
Don't
that it is not work. Then they have got accommodation, they have got food.
You don't have anything to do.
You feel so lonely.
Does not matter, you should be happy.
Then what do you think? You retire and you will be surprised.
Now why does it happen? What is the real thing?
You have habits like reading, you know.
Sir, what are you getting escape? They want to be always busy.
Escape. It's not just livelihood.
Well, many old people, 70 people in Delhi, they work after retirement in 15 years.
Yes.
No, but no, what
is it?
I would say all those people, Churchill, and De Gaulle, and that fellow there in Chancellor there in Germany,
I don't know.
They are immediately after quitting their office.
Why is it so?
They suddenly, you see, change in their
pattern of living and
style of life. So it is not necessarily for your livelihood that you work, but it's, you got into this rut then. If you are freed from that, you are in trouble.
But even, is it not strange? What if two things at the same time?
Same thing, definitely.
I know that.
Yeah. What do you
mean? I had an argument with his priest.
He himself said that, you see. The day I stop talking, that's the end of the day. I'm also saying the same thing. The day I stop traveling, I drop dead.
But why are you so sure of that?
I'm sure.
Why?
Why?
Because you are actively in one place.
You see, I cannot stay in one place. It's not possible.
But all the places are the same.
You may say that. The bird, you see, why it doesn't stay in one place? It moves, goes away.
We should apply to all the entire humanity.
That also applies. You see, you do it. I'm not saying anything against you doing that. You all are stuck in the mud here. You don't even want to leave this place.
Yes.
Go anywhere. So my way of life has been that all these years, 54 years of my life, I have never lived in any place for 6 months at a stretch. Even when I was married and the family was located, you see, I was out to traveling most of the time. Even in Chicago, she was staying there. I traveled all over the United States, South America, Canada, everywhere. So this body has gotten used to a certain rhythm, you see. So that's the only thing it does. If it cannot do that, if I am immobilized, then the body cannot move. Stay in the hospital, then that's a different matter. Otherwise, in the normal course of things, they both happen at the same time. As long as there is a breath of life in this body, so long this body will move. You see, you will be surprised. You see, you sit here, if there is no thought, there is no movement. It becomes a stiff, caught.
Yes, yes, yes.
Caught.
Yes.
Yes. Without thought, there is no movement. Our problem is not the thought. Thought and life are the same. Thought is action. But the activity ceases. Activity means the movement for the body. You see, the dog looks at you. Mm. You can have a one-way seminar.
Yes.
Only with the dogs. There is no questioning, nothing. Just listens to you. With
rapt attention.
Rapt attention. Total aware attention.
Yes.
Total attention. How do you get that? So that's also, you are also like that, you just look at it. There is no movement at all. The thought is not there, you can't even move the finger. Even in the reflex actions which those jokers are talking about, they don't have adequate knowledge yet. See, there is thought, otherwise there is no reflex action. They call it reflex action, imagining that there is no thought at all. Without thought, there is no movement of this body. The moment the thought stops, the death takes place immediately.
Then what is the source of the thought? What is the source of the thought?
The question is the source of the thought.
That is another thought.
That is the assumption that there is a thought, that there is a source. The question is the thought. So if it does not wait for an answer either from within or from without, that's the end of it. Or wait for an answer. So there is no source of thought. You can give a definition. I give you definitions, a lot of them. Thought is matter, thought is time, thought is space, thought is movement, thought is action.
It is not any impulse. It is not any impulse coming from any source, from within.
It's like the waves, the air waves you have that picks up, the radio picks up. You see, the radio is the culture, it trains you.
So regarding the seeing process which you were seeing, telling, it is because of the intervention of the thought you see. And suppose the eye is able to see of its own apart, thought is one.
There is no seeing then.
Huh?
There is no seeing. So that is why your philosopher said the seer and the seen are one. That's a metaphysical concept. See, you cannot say that this is the stimulus and this is the response. Because it's non-unitary movement.
Now what I want to say is, when the process of seeing, when the eye sees of its own accord, the thought is
there. There is no seeing there, sir. No seeing at all. That's what I am saying.
So you are telling that the senses are working of their own accord.
Yes. Then there is no seeing there. Huh? No error. Huh?
Then if there is no seer, there is no error or any of these five.
No seer, no seeing, no seeing without the seer, no perception without the perceiver. Perceive, perception, perception, rubbish.
Throw
it out of the window. No such thing as pure perception. Anything you say of perception is contaminated by the perceiver. You know? It's all metaphysics, Brahmachari, and somebody else can sit, and the perceiver is the perceived, and there is neither the perceiver nor the perceived.
Observer and observer.
Neither the observer nor the observed, there is only observation.
What is the otherness? He always uses the otherness.
What is the otherness?
Choiceless illness.
It's all sales talk. Sales talk. Otherwise, it won't be in business. It's a business. And is use humanity, mankind, for your self-aggrandizing. Why is it like the cow? Gosamrashna Samiti is for. What for? Save the cow or save yourself?
Save myself, make some money, make some
car. You don't understand that.
Get elected as a representative.
But why this research is going on? Psychology is nonsense, I mean. Why are you
the psychology? No, that's over our studies, you see.
Like you're also aware.
No, I'm not condemning that, please. No. Don't get me wrong.
But
I will help her to go to the best institute in America, anywhere in the world.
Only to make a living.
No, you see, the more you know, the more...
Better job you get.
Better job you get.
You get more money.
That's yes, research. Research is for your
own. You haven't even
only for that.
Only for that.
You cannot believe in what you are saying.
No. You have to believe.
The problem is exactly.
You have to believe.
Believe, otherwise you can't do.
You see, the more neurotic you are, the more powerful you will be.
You will be.
If you have to kid yourself to such an extent, and say, otherwise you cannot kid others at all.
If you are a skeptic, you can't do anything.
Never.
Never.
Don't trust the skeptics. Burn them and take. Skeptics is just like agnostic. Agnostics don't exist.
But real scientists are skeptic, I suppose.
No, they don't have the scientific mind. See, that is the unfortunate part. But I told you this, Brahmachari also, you have degrees, you don't have a scientific mind. You don't have the guts. You see, to test that, even that fellow was talking with Venkatesan, Professor Venkatesan. I see the ashes falling from the picture of
Sai Baba.
Sai Baba. Alright, you see. But do you see, your colleagues suggested that, you see, test that, you see, ash. You have tremendous means of testing that. You have these laboratories, you have the equipment there. Why you don't have the guts to test that? So he is frightened. You understand? The result of which will, you see, destroy his belief, his faith in the mind.
That's what he was afraid of.
That is what he is afraid of.
It is
so that is why I said, even if I see ashes falling from that, then instead of Rajneesh, or whatever his name is, Sai Baba's picture, I will not. I will question that also.
I will.
Is what I told Shantar.
He simply said it is simply not possible.
Not possible from,
by the natural laws.
From the laws that we know of today. This is the basis on which I proceed. Understand? So, if we do not know the divine laws and their nature, which you claim you seem to be in the know of, it is your responsibility not to tell the whole world these scientists who are pushing the whole of mankind in the direction of total annihilation. Every research is now geared, is progressively moving us all in that direction.
Of destruction.
Of destruction. So it is your responsibility as a man who is in position of the divine laws, the nature of which they do not know, I do not know, to help them
to stop this destruction.
Not stop, you see, put the whole thing on the
right track.
That's all. I am not interested in proving that he is a bogus
man,
that he is a fraud. I am not at all interested like this Narasimhaya. Narasimhaya is another fraud, you see, atheist wants to prove. Not at all, I don't even go anywhere near. So that is exactly the reason why I am condemning Jaya Krishnamurti is, there is nothing there to be transformed. So this certainty I have, there is nothing there to be transformed. So if you talk of transformation, radical or otherwise, you are kidding yourself and kidding all these people. I don't care why. That is why I said in that he has raised the art of self-deception to a fine art.
And trapped
all these people there. So you sit there and talk, and these people, you know, can go on indulge in any self-deception, but I stay from the top of this house that nobody is going to be transformed as a result of either listening to him or that chappy talking for 6 minutes. Never. So this is the certainty that I have. Not whether he is a phony or his teaching is a phony below. That doesn't interest me. You know, they are all empty words as far as I am concerned. Nobody is going to be transformed. How can you have that certainty? Try your luck. Good luck to you. But you are not going to get it. You see, that is why I am certain. You are jealous of the world. How can I be jealous? He is not going to transform you. That much I know.
Yes.
So how can I be jealous? I cannot help you to attain moksha, liberation, freedom, and bring about transformation in you. There is some joker there whose teaching will help you. I know that. That is not going to help you because there is nothing there to be done.
Because
that's all.
For decades it is going on.
It can go on for millions of years. I don't care. I am not interested in becoming a cult figure or the teacher of mankind. Nothing. I am not interested. What I have discovered for myself is something extraordinary. No power on this earth or in the worlds out there can touch.
That is why this has never been contaminated by water.
Never. Nothing can touch this. Nothing can contaminate. All the millions and millions of years of thing contamination is thrown out. The blood gates were open and everything was thrown out. So nothing can touch it. Even if God comes and stays there and talks, I am divine, you get lost. But you can help that man. So it is in that sense I say, that's why I told Shanta, you know the story she told.
Yes.
You see, her sister is a great bhakta of Sai Baba.
Sai Baba.
And her prayer she did not tell, you see. I gave one photo to Shanta, which she liked very much. Her sister was sitting there next to her, said, I want a photo exactly like that. Exact photo. Sir, is her come here? So that is the energy, not the physical energy. Not the psychic energy, not this energy, but the energy of life. Life goes on.
That's why you don't feel that.
Never. It is not a self-fulfillment. The river flows and flows and flows.
It is not tired.
No. Not at all. I can sit here and talk 24 hours. If the body is tired,
it will itself take
it. Automatically, while I am sitting here and talking, there will be a break there and it goes. You don't even notice that. You know?
Eyes are open.
Eyes are open, eyes see nothing. Ears are there. But,
that's not.
Tomorrow, 4 o'clock, this is your.
You have
my job, I won't.
Recorded enough today.
I won't do my job.
All day we have been talking today.
Yes.
How many hours? 5?
God knows. So morning we started the. What is the day?
What kind of help man is seeking?
What do you want? We don't talk in abstract. What do you want?
What's your objective of life?
It may be the very assumption that the life as an object is wrong. You know? We have been told that this is the object of life. So to make money is the object of life in America, Western countries. But as a matter of fact, they're more spiritual than the people living in the land of spiritual giants. Or here, maybe the God realization, self realization, liberation, freedom, maybe the be all and end all of the existence of people. But why should there be any object? Why should we bother ourselves with this question, how to live? That really is the problem, you see. How to live is really the problem. As long as you are bothered about how to live, for whatever reason you cannot live. Because how to live is just something which is not in the area of living, it is in the area of thinking. They have provided us with the material and we are lost in this field of thinking about how to live, but the how is really the problem that culture, society, whatever you want to call it, has created for us and has turned us into neurotic, wanting two things at the same time. So why should there be any purpose? Why should there be any meaning? Why? One who does not see any meaning in life or purpose of life is the one who is asking this question, you know, what is the meaning of life? And then we have to also make very clear to us what do we mean when we talk of life. And these are all the different questions which we are confronted with and we want to consider, you see, the question which you are posing to yourself, the object of life. I'm not asking counter questions, but I'm trying to understand what people mean and want to know when they ask this question, what is the purpose of life, what is the meaning of life, what is the object of life. We take it for granted that there is an object, you see, there is a goal to be achieved, attained, and that life has some meaning, you see. So is there any, do you see any meaning? Why you want to find out the meaning if there is any meaning? Why you are not satisfied with the way you are living? Why? I never ask the question because it makes.
Sir,
living.
Your daughter calls me and.
Do you think there is any meaning or purpose in life? What is the purpose of life? Do you think? And if you think there is a meaning, why are you asking me? Living is all that is there for me. The moment you say how to live, you have created a problem, a conflict. Either you accept what is
imposed on us or you reject. I'm not asking counter questions. I want to be very clear about your question. That is why I'm asking counter questions. Series of questions which are more or less the same questions. Variations of the same question. There is only one question, and all the other questions are the variations of the same question. And why do we ask these questions? Where do they come from? The assumption that there is an objective for life, that there is a meaning, there is a purpose. We are not sure. That's why we are asking this question, what's the meaning of life? So, question is born out of the assumption that there must be a meaning, there must be a purpose. Because you don't seem to see any meaning or any purpose in it. Question arises only when you find that there is something more interesting, more valuable, more purposeful, more meaningful way of living than the way you are living. You know? Obviously we are bored with what we are doing. So, is there anything more than this, other than this? That is the question. That is all that is there. Where would that leave us? So you have to tell me if you really think there is meaning or there is no meaning.
See, there has to be some meaning.
Why? They don't say there has to be.
Logically.
No, logically I don't see any reason why there has to be a meaning. That's the most absurd logic that we can think of, you know. Because you don't see any meaning, we say there must be meaning. That is not logical. Do you see that there is no meaning? If there is no meaning, you would commit suicide, jump out of that. You still see that there is something in living. Meaning does not in any way help us to understand anything except to speculate about it, talk about it, think about it. That's all that we can do about the meaning that we logically are concerned with.
Coming to the Hindu culture, they say that the objective of the human self is manushya, birth manushya is is self-realization.
Yes.
That is the
you have taken it for granted.
This is one of the thoughts.
All right, we stick to that. It's all right. You see, you have taken it for granted that that is the objective or goal of your life. And you want to realize that self, or whatever it is. And self-realization has become, or you have made that to be your goal. Huh?
I think to the extent so far, I have met some people.
Yes.
Personally, I am convinced that I think that is the objective.
All right. Then how do you go about?
That's my...
Huh?
I wish I knew it. How to go. That's why I am here.
No, but those who have told you that there is, you see, and that it is, they are the ones to tell you that. I say that, you see, before you are concerned about the self-realization as the objective or the goal of your life, you have to find out if there is any self there to be realized. That is my question. I see no self to be realized there. If there is no self to be realized, the whole exercise is you are thinking or doing anything about it is meaningless. You think there is a self or you assume that there is a self to be realized?
Yes, what we call Atma, soul, enlightenment.
We accept so many things, we assume so many things, you see, you know. We believe so many things.
Is it belief only?
No.
Is it belief only?
I say it is, and then where does it lead?
Sorry, no, no, no,
Because he is talking, he talked out.
All right,
you see,
no, we are trying to bring the whole thing into a focus. That's what I'm trying self, soul, Atman, these are all many words. All right. There is such a thing as self. I'm ready to concede. For purposes of argument. And then you see, that is found to be a fact for me. Then I would proceed in the direction of realizing that self. Huh? So, how do I
know that it is?
Huh?
How to know that there is a self?
You know, obviously, it is the knowledge you have of the self that has created this self for you. That's all that I'm trying to point out. See? So is it possible for you, we forget about, you see, the self, you see, or the soul, or whatever you want to call it. The object called self is the one that the knowledge you have that can create this self for you. So the knowledge is not my own. It is passed on to me from generation to generation. So the self is number one word, definition. The knowledge of it is passed on to me from generation to generation. So it is this knowledge that you have of the self that gives you the experience of self. Without knowledge, there is no experience. This is all that I am trying to point out. So that it is this knowledge that creates the self for you. But how can you separate yourself from the self, or the knowledge you have of self, and then deal with the self? I have no way of finding out anything about self except through what I have been told about it. See? The definitions, the knowledge that is passed on to me from generation to generation, which is born out of the experiences of those people. And the experience confirms the knowledge you have of the self, and the knowledge creates the experience. This is the vicious circle that we are part of it. So we forget about, you see, this self. The self exists where it exists, if it has any point, or whether it is there, where is its location, and all that is not the problem. But if you deal with the simple things like the objects out there, then you see, it will become a lot easier for us to focus on the thing called self. I can say that there is no self, and if there is no self, the whole question of self-realization is absolute nonsense. It's a waste of time, see, to spend a lifetime to realize something that does not exist. So how can I transmit this certainty that I have that there is no self, let alone the realization of self, whether it is the object of your goal or my goal or the goal of the whole nation? How do I go about this? Is it possible for me to free myself from that knowledge and look at the self? So there is a person who is talking. There is a person who is sitting here. Is it possible for you to know anything about me except the knowledge you have of this thing that is sitting here? Is it possible for you to look at me, let alone to know anything about me? Can you physically look at me without the knowledge you have of this person or anything that is there before you? You say, I am a man, you have a knowledge about man. See that I have these Indian clothes and not Western clothes, that is also the knowledge. That you see, I am a person who can help you to understand this problem of self-realization. Is based upon an assumption you have that I may be a self-realizing man. So that is also the assumption, but you don't know for sure whether I have realized it myself at all, or anybody for that matter. See, the claimants we have in the marketplace. So that it is your assumption that tells you that here is a man who has realized himself, so he is talking to you about this self-realization. It is becoming too complicated. So how do I go about this? See, somebody says that this is the way the room should be arranged.